lifted up upon the wings of divine inspiration, wrote these words. Now the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, make you perfect in doing his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom be glory forever and ever. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. We are to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. In Ephesians chapter 3 in verse 21, the Apostle Paul writes, unto him be glory in the church throughout all ages, world without end. There are many venues that bring glory to God, but perhaps the greatest venue is the church, the blood-bought church of the New Testament, that our Lord died upon the blood-drenched slopes of Calvary to make possible. Good to be in the church. Good to be in the Lord. Good to have your name written down in heaven. Amen. Good to have the hope of eternal life ringing in your soul. These are blessings that come from Christ. I want to thank Sister and Brother Ryan again, and all of you who are volunteering during the week at our relief and distribution center, and all of those who've come and just done a marvelous job. We've helped quite a few people, and we're anticipating helping more. But of course, our strategy is changing as the situation is changing on a daily basis. So we have to adapt and adjust our strategies in trying to minister in the name of Jesus to this community. But let me say again, thank you for the great work you're doing. Amen. I want to call your attention this morning, if you have your personal copy of the world's bestseller, I want to call your attention to the book of Galatians, chapter 6. And I want to look at verse number 7, Galatians chapter 6. I want to look at verse number 7. If you have that, say amen. And this verse reads, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Using this text, I want to talk from the subject, a deeper look at the law of sowing and reaping. A deeper look at the law of sowing and reaping. The Hebrew writer in the Hebrew letter talks about the milk and the meat qualities of the Word of God. He makes it clear in Hebrews chapter 5 about verse 13 that those who use milk are unskillful in the word of righteousness. And then he points out that strong meat belongs to them that are mature, are of a full age, even those who have their senses exercised so that they can discern good from evil. As God's people, it is our responsibility to go deeper and deeper into the depths of God's word. We're not to remain inactive or non-progressive when it comes down to God's word, but we are to leave the table of elementary doctrine. We are to move to the feasting table of deeper, deeper theological and profound truths. As we mature in Christ, we should no longer speak like a child. As we mature in Christ, we should no longer understand like a child. As we mature in Christ, we should no longer think like a child. But we should put away childish things. And that's why today I think we need to go deeper concerning this great law of sowing and reaping. I want to share two things with you this morning. I want to talk about two ideas basically in this message. I want to talk about number one, the law of sowing and reaping stated in its simplest form. That's the first idea. The law of sowing and reaping stated in its simplest form. And secondly, I want to talk about a deeper look at the law of sowing and reaping. Now, I refer you back to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, because this law in this particular verse is stated in its simplest form. The book of Galatians is a great book in the New Testament. It was written by the Apostle Paul. And in this great book, we learn that some of the greatest blessings possible are available to those who embrace the true and the pure gospel of Christ. If you really want to be blessed, the greatest blessings in life are in the gospel. No other place. Amen. On the other hand, this same book talks about the greatest curses that could ever come upon you. If you embrace a perverted gospel, then this book talks about let him be anathema. And that term, or the King James says a curse, that term means to be devoted up to the highest curses of God. So if one embraces a perverted gospel, the gospel that God did not give, then according to this book, he is devoted up to the highest curses of God. And also this great book sets forth in its simplest form the great law of sowing and reaping. Everyone here today needs to understand this law because it affects all of our lives. This great law of sowing and reaping. It was set forth in creation, the Creator. This text says that God is not mocked. Nobody can mock God with impunity. And the reason being is that God is going to have the last word. So nobody can thumb their nose at God. Well, you can do it, but you ain't going to get away with it. Is that all right? Because God is going to have the last word. Now, of course, if you choose to believe the theory of evolution, that's your prerogative. But if you want the truth about it, the truth is that God in the beginning created the heavens and the earth. That's the truth about it. And nobody can overthrow that truth, that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And as he created the world, he set forth natural law or physical laws, and he set forth spiritual laws. Spiritual laws are higher than natural laws. But all these laws have consequences. Amen. He set forth this law in the Garden of Eden when he said every fruit or every seed produces after its own kind. We could also say every deed produces after its own kind. Amen. So this is the Creator. And he set forth this law of sowing and reaping is the law given to us. It comes to us from the hand of the Creator. Now, there are three things I want you to understand about this law. Number one, this law is a universal law. That means that it applies to everybody. Everybody's life is affected by this law. It is a universal law. Secondly, it is an inexorable law. What does that mean? It is a law that is unchanging. It is a law that is unyielding. It is a law that is unrelenting. It does not change. And it, number three, it is a truthful law. No one can deny the reality of this law. We ought to be teaching our children that action have consequences. You reap what you sow. Whether it's good or bad, you reap what you sow. In fact, you don't even have to understand it. This law still works. It works for you every day. Or it works against you every day. It doesn't matter that you don't understand it. Amen. It's at work every day in our lives. In fact, this is a law. This is one of the greatest truths you could ever learn in life. I think I said something right there. This is one of the greatest truths you could ever learn in life. Solomon said, of all your getting, get understanding. And that's why I want us to take a deeper look at the law of sowing and reaping. Communities need to understand this law. Nations need to understand this law. Companies, if you have a company, it needs to understand this law. You see, companies reap what they sow. Churches need to understand this law. Churches reap what they sow. Individuals need to understand this law. Individuals reap what they sow. This law is an unyielding law. But not only do we need to know about this law, understand this law, we need to respect this law. When we respect this law, our lives can improve so much. Now, I want to move to my second idea. I want to go deeper now. I want to look at some deeper insights about the law of sowing and reaping. In its simplest form, it states, don't be deceived. Look at it again with me. Don't let anybody mislead you, and don't you mislead yourself. You know, sometimes you can fool yourself. Amen. I fooled myself. Thought I was on the right road and found out. Hello? That's why they got reversing cars. Sometime in life you have to bag up. Is that all right? This text says, in its simplest form, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Nobody can mock God. Like I talk about sometimes, trying to run from God is like a man running from a lion. Met a bear, went into a house, leaned on a wall, and a serpent bit him. Amos 5:19 is that text. You can't get away from God. Nobody can mock the living God. There's only one true and living God, and we do well to honor him. Submit to him, respect him, reverence him. Is that right? Nobody. You don't want God as an enemy. You don't want the Lord mad at you. I know, and I'm going to say that I know some folks running around here talking about God didn't do this tornado, the devil did. I don't believe a word of that. Devil ain't got that much power. Is that all right? People running around here talking about, well, God ain't got nothing to do with death. Well, let me just go back and do a little history with you. God drowned the whole world except 8 people. Did he have anything to do with that? God rained down fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. Did he have anything to do with that? Is that all right? God killed 23,000 in the wilderness in one day. Did he have anything to do with that? Is that all right? God drowned Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. Did he have anything to do with that? God killed Ananias and Sapphira for lying in the church. Did he have anything to do with that? One day, Herod, Brother Hillary, put on a royal apparel and gave an oration. And the people said, it sounds like the voice of a god. And God smote him with worms. Is that all right? And then in the book of Deuteronomy, God said, I kill and I wound. I heal and I make alive. And he said, none can deliver out of my hands. I tell you, God is in control. Is that all right? Nobody is going to mock God and get away with it. But let's go a little deeper. He says in Galatians chapter 6, watch this now. You ask yourself a question this morning. What dominates your life? He said, if you sow to the flesh. Brother Hillary, you got the NIV? If you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh. Let's go deeper. You're going to reap corruption. What does corruption mean? It means ruin. It means death. It means destruction. So if I'm, no matter who I am, you know, there are some people on the down low. I wish I had some help in here. But it doesn't matter what you're on the down low. You're going to reap what you sow. You may be doing your thing and nobody know about it but you and Jesus. But you're going to reap what you sow. Now, to sow to the flesh, it means that I'm involved in activities and deeds on a daily basis that are against the will of God. And also to sow to the flesh is to be involved, watch this, in a human man-made religion. That's sowing to the flesh too. Trying to go to heaven man's way instead of trying to go God's way. Is that all right? But let's look at a few manifestations of sowing to the flesh from the NIV because I want to make this contemporary. I want to be a relevant preacher. What does it say, Brother Hillary? Galatians 5:19 says what?
The acts of the sinful nature.
The acts of the sinful nature.
Are obvious. Sexual immorality.
So if I'm having sex outside of marriage, I'm sowing to the flesh. That's sowing to the flesh. We're going to reap what we sow. What else, Brother Hillary?
Impurity.
Hello? If I'm on the internet doing my thing. Preach, Moss. I'm sowing, no matter who it is. I'm sowing to the flesh. Is that all right? Read.
And debauchery.
Debauchery. That's what ain't no shame in your game. You got folks on TV. They get on TV telling all their business. Now, ain't no way in the world I'd get on Jerry Springer, Mari, Oprah, Dr. Phil, and tell folks nothing. Is that all right? And people so involved in sexual immorality don't even know who the baby daddy is. Come on, y'all. If that's the kind of life you're living, you're sowing to the flesh. Read.
Idolatry.
What else?
And witchcraft.
And let me tell you, people smoking crack, shooting heroin, taking uppers and downers, are sowing to the flesh. Read, Brother Hillary. And that's a form of, and by the way, smoking crack is a form of witchcraft. Did you know that? Because the word witchcraft comes from the Greek word pharmakia. When you hear pharmakia, you think about pharmacy. And in a pharmacy, they have drugs. Is that correct? Witchcraft uses drugs to control people. Did you know that? When they put a spell on you, they put drugs in your system. Read, Brother Hillary.
Hatred.
If I'm hating any human being, that's sowing to the flesh. Read.
Discord.
If I'm sowing discord. If I'm turning people against people, that's sowing to the flesh. Read.
Jealousy.
If I'm jealous of somebody, if I compliment Sister White and you upset, you feel like you injured because I complimented her, that's jealousy. And jealousy is cruel as the grave. That's sowing to the flesh. Read.
Fits of rage. Selfish ambition.
Dissension.
Factions.
That's divisions. Come on.
And envy.
Drunkenness.
Orgy.
Wait a minute. Drunkenness. You ain't just got to drink whiskey to be drunk. You can be drunk because you don't think clearly. Is that all right? Read, Brother Hillary.
Orgies.
And the like. Watch this.
I warn you.
We're going deeper today. We're going deeper today in this law. So I warn you, what?
As I did before. That those who live
like this
will not inherit the kingdom of God.
You ain't going to heaven if you live like that. I'm not going if I live like that. Nobody's going. No matter who it is. If I live like that, because I'm sowing to the, what dominates your life? What's in control of your life? Spirit or flesh? But let's go deeper. The next verse says, sowing to the spirit. Read it.
But the fruit of the spirit is love.
Well, back up to verse number 8. What does that say? Okay. Go back to Galatians 6 and look at verse number 8 now. 6:8, what does that say?
The one who sows displeases his sinful nature.
All right.
From that nature will reap destruction.
He'll reap destruction. Come on.
The one who sows to please.
But the one who sows to the Spirit, that is, your life is led by the Holy Spirit through the gospel. You're going to heaven. You're going to be blessed because you're sowing to the Spirit. And the manifestation that the Holy Spirit is in you and is doing its life-changing work. Let's go now to Galatians chapter 5 and let's look at quickly the fruits of the Spirit.
But the fruit of the Spirit is
now, if the Holy, how many got the Holy Spirit this morning?
Amen.
Everybody here that's got the Holy Spirit?
Right.
How you know you got it? God gave it to you? What is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in your life? Let's look and see what it is. The fruits of the Spirit.
Is love.
Is what?
Love.
Joy. How many joyful folks are in here today? Still have joy after all the things you've been through. You still got. That's the fruit of the Spirit. How many loving folks in here today? That's the fruit of the... If you're a hater, that's the fruit of the devil. Read, Brother Hillary.
Peace.
Peace. How many got peace this morning? Come on.
Patience.
Patience. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Jesus. Read.
Kindness.
That's the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. If I'm walking after the leading of the Spirit through the gospel of Jesus. Because every one of us sowing either to the flesh or to the Spirit. Let's go deeper. Can we go deeper? Can we go deeper, church? Read, Brother Hillary.
Goodness.
Goodness.
Faithfulness.
Faithfulness.
Gentleness.
Faithfulness. 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 It means being dependable. It means being reliable. It means being trustworthy. Is that right? That is the manifestation of the Spirit in your life. And when the Spirit is in your life, you are on your way to heaven. Is that all right? And when the Spirit is in you, you're seeking for glory, honor, immortality, eternal life. Is that right? Because you are sowing to the... And you know that the works of the flesh will disinherit you. Is that right? So even though I'm tempted to walk after the flesh, I got to put on the whole armor of God and deny Satan. Let's go a little deeper. Here's another law. You will reap if you keep doing good works and don't get tired. You ever get tired of coming to church? We just got one in here. Don't get tired. I ain't heard nobody but Bro Wyatt. Let's go to Galatians 6:9. See what it says.
Let us not become weary.
Let us not become weary.
In doing good.
In doing good.
We're at the proper time.
At the proper time.
We will reap a harvest.
We're going to reap. Now, let me say this about reaping. That's the crop you're going to receive. Yeah. The sowing is the deed or the seed. The reaping is the crop. All of us going to get a crop. In fact, we're getting a crop. I'm going to go a little deeper. But don't you become tired of doing good. Because one day at the proper time, for every good deed you perform, God's going to bless you. You're going to get a crop for the goods you do. Now watch this. Every day, this is something really to think about. Ought to be doing something good in somebody's life. Before I go to bed every night, I ought to be able to look back at something I did that was good, that touched somebody's life. Before I go to sleep at night, I ought to be able to look back at my day and see specific activities that I have engaged in that glorifies God. Because I'm sowing. Don't get tired of doing good. The Bible says in Acts 10:38, and he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and he went about doing good, healing those who were oppressed of the devil. How can I follow Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and get tired of doing good? Every day, I ought to pick out somebody tomorrow, or no, today, and say, I'm going to do something good. Wouldn't the world be better? So as you have opportunity, he says. Next verse says what?
Against such things there is no law.
No, still in 6:6.
We will reap a harvest if we do not give up.
All right. Verse 10 says what?
Therefore, as we have opportunity.
As you have, let me ask you something. Did you have an opportunity yesterday to do good to anybody? Did you take it? Did you? You can't live a whole day, the whole day just about you. Hello, lights. You gotta touch somebody's life as we have opportunity. Let us do good unto, but especially look around Bush Hill and see whose life you can do some good for. Is that all right? Especially. Let's go. We're going deeper because you reap what you every day. Make it, write down something you're going to do good for somebody. Just write it down and make sure that day does not end before you have done it or you attempted to do it. Does that make sense? We're talking about taking a deeper look at the law of sowing and reaping. Here's a third thing. If you sow sparingly, now this is the, we're talking about giving now. If you sow stingily, if you sow as little as you can, I better get some Bible, Brother Milton. Run over there to 2 Corinthians 9, 6, and 7, Brother Hillary. Let's use the King James now. 2 Corinthians 9, 6, and 7. We're going deeper this morning. Sow to the spirit, you are the spirit, you're going to reap life. Sow to the flesh, that's corruption, right? As you have opportunity to do what? And I got an opportunity every day. I got an opportunity every day. And how many opportunities have I already wasted? Huh? I let a lady in the other day and she just drove out there, didn't say nothing. I don't like that. You ought to at least say thank you. She just drove on out like I supposed to stop. I guess I should suppose to. Not all right? Amen. Every day, do something good. Because we're going deeper. Now, when it comes down to giving, it says, he that soweth sparingly, stingily. You ever known any nitty folks? Tight as three goatskin drums. Amen. If you give a little to the Lord, you're going to get a little. He that soweth sparingly shall reap also. His crop is going to be little. You see that? But he that soweth bountifully, that is generously, liberally, he's going to reap bountifully. Let's go deeper, Trey. Let's go deeper. So God is going to look at, because let me tell you something, giving is not a matter of the pocketbook. Giving is a matter of the heart. It ain't about your pocketbook. It's about your heart. It's about your heart. Because God loveth a cheerful giver. Don't pressure people to give. Don't force people to give. Teach them the principles of giving. Let them know with every gift I give to God, I'm sowing in the kingdom. If I sow sparingly, if I give as little as I can, I'm going to. Let me tell you something about this. You know, even if you, listen, even if you're striving to get out of debt, to pay off all your debts, you ought to be doing it as one of the principles ought to be, motivations ought to be, so I can give more to the cause of Christ. Does that make sense? If you get a raise, shouldn't God get a raise? Is that correct? Y'all all right? Because God loveth a And now, don't give grudgingly. Don't browbeat people to give. Teach them what the Bible says and let it alone. Don't be putting people on guilt trip. Teach them the truth about giving. Because there's a principle. If you sow sparingly, you're going to reap. If you sow bountifully, you're going to reap. Is that correct? Now watch these scriptures. Let's go to Proverbs 11, 24 and 25. And I want Hosea 10, 12. Write these scriptures down. It's a very important scripture. I'm going to have Brother Damien read these from the King James. 11, 24 and 25. Hosea 10, 12. I think that's what I want. You have Proverbs?
I do.
What does it say?
There is that scattereth and yet increaseth.
There is that which scattereth and increases.
And there is that withholdeth.
There is that which withholdeth.
More than his meat.
More than his meat.
But it tendeth to poverty.
Listen, you see, one way the Bible say we can increase prosperity is through giving. Hello, church. That's what it says. Read. Still have it, Damien?
The liberal soul.
The liberal soul
shall be made fat.
Shall be made fat.
And he that watereth.
He that watereth.
Shall be watered also himself.
Shall be watered also himself. Is that what it says? What does Hosea 10, 12 say? What does that say?
Sow to yourselves.
Sow to yourselves in what?
Righteousness. Reap in mercy.
And reap in mercy. Did you see that, church? Did you see that? So what does God say if you sow? How? Sparingly. What's going to happen? If you sow, what's going to happen? You're going to reap. Let me give you two more and we're going to conclude. Number two, here's number four. If you sow the wind, you will reap the whirlwind. Hosea 8, 7, Brother Hillary. If you sow the wind, now this is going to really get heavy. Y'all got your seatbelts on?
Yes, sir.
This is going to really get heavy here. If you sow evil or ignorance, you're going to get a crop. If you sow bad in the world, you're going to, a whirlwind is a tornado. We know what tornadoes do, don't we? They're devastating, aren't they? Brother Ryan pointed out, and he's right. Brother Ryan say that a tornado ain't nothing but a fight. A cold front fighting with a hot front. And low pressure in the middle. Is that right, Brother Ryan? And it gets to spinning. Is that right? And it brings about havoc. But the principle is, let's go deeper. The principle is you reap what you sow on every level. Financially, health-wise, relationship-wise, church-wise. Let me show you. Let's go deeper. Hitler sowed the wind of Aryan supremacy. And as a result, he reaped the whirlwind of World War II. You sow the wind, you reap the whirlwind. America sowed the wind of slavery. It reaped the whirlwind of the Civil War. Y'all still there? Y'all all right? Wall Street and the subprime lending institution sowed the wind of financial greed and corruption, and we reap the whirlwind of a recession we are still in that shook the very foundation of our financial system. So when you have people in high places doing corrupt and evil things, they sow the wind, we reap the whirlwind. And that's why some people don't have jobs today. The county out of money. Yeah. Amen, Brother Hillary. Because we've sown the wind. We're reaping. We sowed the wind of taking prayer out of school. And reaped the wind of children bringing guns into the school. And not merely bringing guns into the school, killing folks with the guns. When you take something good out of your life, I can assure you the devil's going to put some bad in his place. That always happens. You take something good out of your life, something bad is going to come in his place. Let me give you two more. This is the parents, all of us. If we sow the wind of not bringing our children up, and the nurture